You are tuned in to Central Africa Baptist Radio on 106.9 on the FM band. Let us join Pastor Singogo as he preaches God's word about death penalty during leadership conference.
What I want to speak to you about, or what I was asked to speak about, is on what is called capital punishment or the death penalty. So capital punishment is the same as the death penalty. So don't be confused. And when I talk, I may interchange the words. For me, I think that this subject is extremely important today. Because right now, we are toying with the draft constitution. This is the Zambia draft constitution. How many of you have seen it? I hope you've all read it. Okay, as believers, we should read and be interested in what is going on. The reason for the draft constitution is really to change it. They want to make some changes. Now, the thing is that most of us, and I'm afraid to say this, most of us Christians are not really interested. The reason is that most of the people are stressing the political side of things. You know, they are stressing things like 50 plus 1. Eh? You know, these are the things being stressed. And these are the things that people are actually looking at. But in the draft constitution, there are some subtle things that affect us as believers. For instance, if you read the draft constitution very carefully, you find that reading it, gayism is being allowed. There's an indirect window for people to be gay. And as believers, we should be interested in that. We can't just say, it's politics. It's not politics. This is your life as a believer in this country. There's a window for people to be gay. And we're just watching. There's a window for Satanism in the constitution. There's a window for Satanism. And we believers are just what? So my friends, let's wake up. That's the point I'm making. When they say let's discuss this draft constitution, let's be there. Not just assuming it's politics, 50 plus 1. It's more than that. There are windows for people to be gay. Windows for Satanism, people to be Satanists. And right now, as I've said, our current government has put what is called the right to life. Under that clause, people are arguing. They want to remove the death penalty. They want to remove or abolish capital punishment. No matter what evil crime you commit, you can never be killed. That is what they are fighting for. And if you've been listening very carefully, even our president, starting from President Leti Mwanawasa to President Banda. So there's a school, I don't know if you know, if you're traveling from on the Great North Road. There's a school written LP Mwanawasa Basic School. Just on the road, you can't miss it. I think it's after Kapiri, I think before Kabo. You've seen it's written. So I asked my son, what does LP stand for? So he thought, he looked. He says, late President Mwanawasa. So just for you to look at. But our late Mwanawasa in particular, President Banda, and including our current president, they are all talking negatively about the death penalty. In other words, they are saying we should abolish it. And there is talk around that point. And you know, even simple things like, you've all heard of this young lady, Ruth, I think. She was badly murdered, her skin removed. So according to these people, even somebody who's done that must be left alone. That's the point. Okay? You take a life, but you, your life must be preserved. But let's move on a little. So in Zambia, by the way, the last president to execute or to carry out capital punishment was President Chiluba. He was the last president. And did you know the reason why he put those people on death row? Those were the coup people. You know, there were those people who wanted to carry out a coup. I remember that morning Captain Solo was on the radio. Me, I thought it was a play. You know, we are going to remove these anarchists, you know? Or diplomats, you are safe, you don't have to worry. You know, things like that. Me, I thought it was a play. But I began to think it is more serious because the news, I normally listen to the news at 7. But 7 hours, it wasn't there. You know? Then I realized that it was serious and my children couldn't go for school that day. Okay? But President Chiluba was the last person. So it's over 20 years plus when we last had capital punishment in this country. As I've already said, there are now voices, in fact, increasing voices, targeted against capital punishment. More and more people who don't want the death penalty. Now, let me just quote the section on the Zambia draft constitution on capital punishment. It is under the section clause 15, right to life. It says, I've chopped out the number one. Number two, a person shall not be deprived of life intentionally, except to the extent authorized by this constitution or any other law. The English there is basically we all have the right to live, except when the state takes it away from you or the constitution permits it. That's the language there. We are told in number 3 under right to life clause, which I have underlined for those of you who might have my notes, a person may be deprived of life if that person has been convicted of a capital offense and sentenced to death. So what they are saying is that if the courts of law have found you guilty of an offense that leads to death, then you should be sentenced, yes, to death. Number 4, a person who is sentenced to death has the right to seek a pardon or commutation of the sentence. This means that you can appeal to higher courts. A court shall not impose a sentence of death on a convict, A, who is pregnant, B, who is a child. The reason I've raised this is precisely what has happened here. You can see our definitions are all different. As Christians, we should take interest in telling them that this is unclear. What do you mean, eh? In our discussions, whatever you're making this, what do you mean by a child? Some of you may not know, but I'm a medical doctor by training. In medicine, a child is below 13. And my area of interest is children. As the chaplains, take interest. When they say, let's have a discussion on the constitution, take interest and say, what do you mean by a child? That there should be a bracket there under whatever law people are quoting. So a court shall not impose a sentence of death on one who's pregnant, who's a child. See whether extenuating circumstances relating to the commission of the crime. This is something you understand. A person shall not be regarded as having intentionally deprived another person of that person's life if the other person dies as a result of the application of force to such extent as is reasonably justifiable. I think you all understand that. Basically, this is what sometimes they call in the US self-defense and things like that. So you'll not be held liable for the defense of property or any person from violence. If someone, a thief comes in your house, then you shoot him. This is saying you are free. In order to effect a lawful arrest, you are trying to help. Pastor Makashini, yesterday, I left Ndola to take my wife to Lusaka. She doesn't like driving those long distances. So I drove to Lusaka and left my car with her. So I finished, we arrived in Lusaka about 11-ish, 11:30. But then I needed to go to the bank because I needed to pay school fees from one of my sons who's in university, GMI. You have to pay for the money in Indobank, whether you like it or not. So that's part of the reason I went there. So I stood on the queue, and those of you who know Indobank, it's people's bank. So I was on the queue, and you know these public positions, they help sometimes. I mean, they can help positively, but also negatively. Because when you do something wrong, everybody knows and it's in the paper, you know, front page. But when you do a good thing, people remember you. You know that, eh? So this lady apparently had seen her child, and she's a manager in the bank. So she saw me. So she came, the doctor! So I said, this is my problem. You know, I have to pay what, and is this long queue? So she says, no, come in front. This took about 30 minutes because they had to change the kwacha to dollars. Then from dollars into now their dollar account. They didn't want it in kwacha. You know, and that took a bit of time. So my poor Isaac was waiting for me to give me a lift to come here. And what happened? He left his windows half open. A thief came, grabbed his iPhone. So he just turned and he saw this guy ran away. So he came out of the car. Fortunately, his car is one of these nice cars, which you don't have to first close the windows and then lock. You just get out, press a button, the windows will close, the doors will lock on themselves. So that's what he did. He just came out, pressed the button, and began to follow the thief. And began to shout, "Kabulala, Kabulala." So three or four people tripped the Kabulala and started beating him. They beat him so badly, the pastor now began to feel sorry for the thief. So he went there, and the thief said, "Mandela," and caught his belt here. "Mandela, please." And the pastor began to plead now on behalf of the criminal. No, leave him. Because he was bleeding from the mouth, bleeding something else. He caught his belt, and in the process trying to plead with the Pastor Isaac, his belt snapped. Can you imagine? So they got the thief, and by the way, they had removed all his clothes, just left him with underwear. They had torn it, they were looking for their phone. So they were thinking he had passed it on to someone. So they got him and they said, "Let's go back to the car," because he had run quite a distance. "Let's go back to the car. When we get to the car, you must show us who you gave the phone to." So they took him back to the car, and then he says, "No, actually, I have the phone." You know, he had put the phone between his bums somewhere there. That's where it was. You know. So I don't know if the pastor watched it, but anyway, he was given the phone finally. That was yesterday, you see. So these are the things that we face in our life here and today. Okay? So if the pastor had shot him, according to this, it would have been okay. Because this guy was going to violently get his property. And by the way, they had set him up. What they did is they were working together. The chap who came on this side, the so when the pastor tried the other guy, but something told the pastor, "You look the other side." So when he looked, he saw this hand picking the iPhone. Yeah. So that's what happened. So this is the plan. And according to this particular rule, even if he had shot the pastor to get the phone, he should be set free. That's what we are saying by abolishing the capital punishment. Now, before I continue, let me just mention some reasons against capital punishment. I think it's not fair to just say, "Don't kill them." It's not fair. I think we should know their reasons. And by the way, I hope you all know the first rule of administration. For those of you who are bosses, when a person comes to complain to you, I hope you understand. Always remember there are two sides to a story. Are we together? Don't just believe the one who has come. And the Bible says, beware of believing the one who comes first. Because usually he has the best story. It's like in marriage. Who are the people who are likely to tell you what's going wrong in a marriage? The men or the women? It's the women usually who come out. The man will just be there, you know. He beats his wife, he kicks her, he does a kuntash. Praise God! You know, now he changed an accent. Instead of saying praise God, praise God! You know, but kunumo. You know, usually it's the women who come out. Usually, I'm not saying always, but 90% when there's a problem, it's the woman who will find the courage to talk to the pastor. And usually it's because fia chilamo. Did you know that? Most women just shipikisha. Okay? But usually it's fia chilamo. So, what then are the reasons against capital punishment? Why is it that some people say there shouldn't be death penalty?
They're not in the book after page 41.
Okay. So, this is what one man said. If you look in the notes, after the picture, if it's there, you know these phones these days. Can you imagine what you have there? Srimuli akaka nonwa. There's a lady, a man called Ellie Weasel. This is what he said. I do not believe any civilized society should be at the service of death. I don't think it is human to become an agent of the angel of death. This is a man who's against capital punishment. He calls it capital punishment. We are being angels of death. Here's another man. This was a reverend, most reverend. You know, I hope you know that there are various levels of reverendship. There's right reverend. There is just reverend. There is most reverend. Who is most reverend here? Okay. This one is most reverend Joseph A. Fiorenza, President, National Conference of Catholic Bishops, 1999. This is what he said. We oppose the death penalty, not just for what it does to those guilty of heinous crimes, but for what it does to all of us. It offers the tragic illusion that we can defend life by taking life. Now, this is just English, okay? But he's simply saying I'm against the death penalty. I've told you that English is nothing but big words. Eh? Especially medicine and law. Just a few big words. And you are there. I can tell that medicine is not difficult. Just learn the big words. Instead of saying yellow, you must say jaundice. Okay? That's the way we talk. Okay? Instead of saying heart, say cardiac. But it's the same thing. Instead of saying liver, say hepatic. Instead of saying kidney, say renal. It's simple. It's not difficult. It's the same thing. This man is simply saying I'm against the death penalty. Now, types of capital punishment. Now, you must remember that there are different ways of carrying out a death penalty. Are we together? It differs. Okay? Which one do we use in Zambia? Death by hanging. Do you know the man who carries out the death sentence, the hanging? Do you know where he is? You people, you chaplains, you should be just singing these things to me. Where is he? Where does he live? He's retired now. In Chipata, good man. What's his name? Mwanza. He's Mr. Man. He's the one who does the killing. And up to now, he's still caught. Okay? Travels from Chipata when he has. But there's been no one now for the last 20 years plus. But he's the one. Okay? And you know where the death penalty is carried out in Zambia? Which place? In Kawe, Mukoveko. Yes. I used to work in Kawe for information. I was deputy director of the hospitals there. Okay? My director, my immediate boss was Chituo. You know, the former minister of. That was my branch too. That was my immediate boss. I was his number two. He was my director. Me, I was deputy. When I resigned to join doing what I'm doing, ministering God's word, I was actually the acting director. He had left. And he had the view that I take over the hospital, Kawe General Hospital and Kawe Mine Hospital. His view was that I now become the boss. So I told him, no, so he gave me 3 months to act in his position, you know. And during that time, he was busy arguing with me to stay. And some of his arguments were, you'll be getting a free car. You know, as direct, free car, free rent, free servants, 2 free servants. Inside and outside, your salary will double. There's a lot of money. Fuel will be free. I enjoyed myself those 3 months. That's why some people don't want to live once they are in that seat. So remember, so we used to go to Mukoveko, and our job was to make sure they are fit to die. Can you imagine? Fit to? So we would measure their blood pressure and so forth. And then have them. Yes. Okay. This was 1997 when I was at the General Hospital. So that's how I knew all those things I'm now telling you. So there are 7 ways of capital punishments. 1, death by hanging, which you are aware of here. in Zambia. By the way, let me teach you a bit of medicine so that you can go and shine when you go out there.
Go and shine.
Let me just say something about hanging. I think it's extremely important that you understand and you know the sign. Do you know the shape of the brain, by the way? The brain is shaped like this. It's like a big comma. That's the shape of the brain. So it goes like this to the back of your neck. So the brain is not just here. It starts from here and goes up to the neck. Are we together? That's how your brain is. So it's a big upside down comma, for lack of a better description. Okay? So most of it is obviously in the skull, but there is a bit. And the tail end, are we together, of the brain is just in front, you know where the spine is? The first bone in your spine is just there. That's where it is. Then the other bones that you can feel them yourself.
Yes.
But the number one is just behind the brain. The number one bone. Now, just a bit of medicine. In the brain, there are what we call centers. Do you understand? For instance, the center for hunger. The reason you feel hungry is that there is a center in the brain. The appetite center. The reason you feel annoyed, there is an annoyance center. Are we together? How many of you are not married yet? Then I can say what I want to say. The center for sex is also in the brain. Are we together? So, the center for emotions, the reason you cry when something bad happens, it's because it's there. Are we together? Now, in particular, the front part here, have you seen this front part? Here, where your, what do you, impumi. Behind the impumi is a piece of brain. Now, this brain is very important, right? Because if you have an accident and this front part, the impumi part where the brain is damaged, do you know what will happen? You lose a certain center. It's called the inhibition center. I'll explain.
Don't worry.
Inhibition. You know what to inhibit is, eh? To stop, isn't it? So it's the inhibition center. Inhibition center. For instance, we are seated in this room. I'm just giving you an example of what the inhibition center does. You are seated here. The reason, for instance, you're not insulting me, it's because there's inhibition center. Like some of you are seated here saying stupid lecture. You're not saying it, but it's in your mouth. It's because of the inhibition center. The reason none of you are wheeling here and doing poo-poo in this room is because of the inhibition center. That's why you stand up, you want to wee, you just walk up, walk out. It's because of the inhibition center. You're not insulting me because of this. Now, when people have been involved in accidents, or due to some operation, maybe cancer, you remove that, you'll be shocked the things that they start saying. A person who was quiet, for instance, will suddenly become loud because inhibition has gone. In day-to-day life, the inhibition center is affected very strongly by alcohol and drugs. You know, some people say, "Alaisa kutuka first na injen kunwine." You know, the reasons why the inhibition center is suppressed, so he starts talking, or drugs, dagger, cocaine. They inhibit this person, so it's called the inhibition center. But just for your information, so please, when someone has an accident, and particularly around here, and you find that their character changes, or personality as we call it, just know. The doctors know. Okay. And you find the person who used to be quiet suddenly is loud. You know, it's because that center has been damaged after an accident. But for you, I wanted you to know that the respiratory center, in other words, the center for breathing, the center that makes you breathe, is just here. Can you believe it? Just there. Just in front of the number one bone. Directly opposite. The distance is very small between the center for breathing. In other words, if I damaged that, you'd stop breathing. When we put you for hanging, or when you put a person for hanging, what happens is, have you noticed, they always leave like a distance. Have you noticed? They will tie you. Then there's a short distance. You don't need a big distance. It's just a short distance. When that rope, when you go, boom, when the man drops that machine, boom, this hits there. That's how you die. The firstborn hits the breathing center. Death. There's no question. There's nothing like it. Nothing will happen. And of course, part of my job was to now examine to see that you're actually dead. You who was fit to die, now my job is to confirm that you've actually died. But of course, they can see the chap is not breathing. So, it is just a bit of education for you. That when there is hanging, that is what is happening. By the way, when you go for hanging, there's no need, in case you want to kill yourself, but I think you don't be a Christian. There is no need for a long place. All you need is just a difference of height between there. It can't even be that much. You die. There's no question. Just a difference that you move from a higher level to a lower level. That's all. Because the distance is so close. Okay, that's why sometimes some of these accidents, when they've been hit from behind, he's dead, but he looks okay. But he is dead. The reason is that the spine, this carbon, has been hit by the force from behind into the breathing center, and you die. Are we together? So that's what happens in hanging. But anyway, it was just for your education and for you to go and shine when you go wherever you are. But that was just by the way. So in death by hanging, which is one of the methods, there's also another way of capital punishment. Execution by firing squad. Which countries have execution by firing squad? Huh? Sorry? Congo DR. They don't play there. There's nothing like, first hanging you. No. Okay. And how is the execution by firing squad done? How is it done? They will blindfold you. Yes, on a stake. The English is stake. Not in food. He is thinking of food. Okay, a stake. That's STAKE.
Then the soldiers maybe okay, then they do process with weapons.
Yeah.
And then they fire too.
Okay. It's never one security officer. That's what I wanted to stress. They're usually about 20, 15. Okay. Why do you think they do that? One, in case you miss. You've all gone for gunshot training? Yes. Okay. I did it at National Service. It's not very easy to hit the target. Of course, some people are very good. But it's not very easy to hit the target. So, in case you miss. That's one. Two, in case, if it's one person, then you will be walking in life knowing that you are the one who shot that person. But when you are men, you don't know which bullet actually landed on that guy. You know what? Yes, it's a drill. It's a drill. You do drills. Yes. Yes, correct. It's a drill. It's actually a drill. That's the whole idea, so the person dies. Yes, that's the whole idea, that the person should actually die, not you, boom, you've missed. You're quite right. It's actually done as a drill. Aim, fire. Okay. Congo DR, they don't fool around there. Another place where there's execution by firing squad?
Uganda also was doing it that time of Idi Amin, I don't know this time.
Yes, they've stopped now, they use hanging. Who else executes? Yes, Afghanistan, they don't play there. Okay, once you are condemned, it's firing squad. Okay, lethal injection, you know what lethal injection is? They take an injection, the doctor again, as usual, the doctor is called. And examines you to see whether you are fit to to die. Can you imagine? Not fit to live, but fit to die. And basically, basically what we do is look at blood pressure, make sure your blood pressure is normal. We look at your breathing to make sure that your lungs, when you are breathing, you are not sick. If you are sick, by the way, we will postpone your death penalty. Did you know that? We actually postpone it. So no, wait another day. With lethal injection, they take an injection. There are two types of blood vessels. I know you call them veins. Okay, there are two types. There's one that carries red blood. We call those arteries. Red blood means that there is oxygen in the blood. Are we together? Yeah. And this is what goes to your various parts of the body. But then there's also blue blood. You've seen your blood sometimes. It's not looking red, it's looking bluish. That is in your veins. In other words, this artery, the arteries take blood from the heart to your various parts of the body. You need oxygen for your eyes to see. You need oxygen for your brain. So these red always take the blood to the organs. The veins take the blood that has no oxygen back to the heart. Okay? That's the movement. In lethal injection, what they do is they take a long needle, and if you do like this, you can see your veins. What you see are veins. When you do like this or on the skin, you've seen some people when they've been... Yeah, those are never arteries. Are we together? They are always the veins. So just stick to veins. You won't go wrong. Okay? The only artery you people feel is this one here. You remember when on the hand?
Yes.
Sometimes you can feel this pulse. That is an artery. The veins are the things you see like him. You see automatically. You can see this. This is a vein. There's no question. I don't even have to check it. Okay? All these that I'm seeing are veins. You never see arteries. No, 90% you never see arteries. Okay? Most of the arteries you only feel. Veins you see. So when you see umshipe, just know that's a vein. That's what the doctor does. He gets a big needle, goes into the vein, because they're easy to see. And then they inject you with a poisonous drug. Can you imagine? And what the drug does, two things. Either, depends on which drug they're using. Are we together? And which country you come from. There are two systems in your, what keeps you alive. Just two. There's your heart. Your heart and your breathing. This is what keeps you alive. Just those two. How do doctors know you have died? Your heart stops and you stop breathing. They know you have died. That's how we know. So what they do, these medicines, is either they go to the heart and stop it. Remember I told you the word for heart is what? What did I say? Cardio. So they will give you, here's a medical word for you. Cardio. Toxic. Drug. Okay? Simple. Toxic means poison. So they'll give you a cardiotoxic drug. You see, medicine is easy. We summarize a lot of things. Even if you can't remember the drugs, you just say, I'll give you a cardiotoxic drug. There's nothing. The doctor doesn't know. So he has just used the general word. So that's what they inject, a cardiotoxic drug. Or a respiratory, now you know, respiratory means breathing. A respiratory toxic drug, finish. That's what they do. Or sometimes, in some cases, they will give you a drug that combines both. Of course, you can see that you die faster in the combination. But any of these drugs will send you to death. That's what they do. So what the doctor does, he goes on himself. Like I said, they usually use fast acting within about 10-15 seconds. You are gone. Call it a day. It's easy to die. Did you know that? Very easy to die. You know? To die is extremely easy. Take it from me. It's not as difficult as you think. That's why I can't believe that a person can live this life without Jesus Christ. I can't believe that. It's extremely easy to die, brethren. And if we are not Christians, we need to think again. You know? We can die anytime. I've just shown you that bone, how close it is to our breathing sense. It's very easy to die. Okay? With this one, if it's a combination, maybe even 5 seconds, you're gone. Okay? So, that's by lethal injection. Then there's gas chamber, that one you know. Gas chamber, they put you in a room, isn't it? So instead of injection, the same drug has been made into a gas. Okay? Or a vapor. Do you understand? Then they switch it on. So you breathe it in, and where do you think it's working? Breathing sense. Yeah, so you die. And who were very, very good at this? The Germans. Okay? Injection is by which country? The US. US. Them, they liked this. So I think they still use it, the injection. Okay? Then, death by stoning? The Jews. The Jews were bad news. Okay? And who else is using it today? Today, who is using death by stoning? Islam, Muslim. Sharia law. And by the way, talking about Islam, Islam comes in very quietly into a nation. I hope you know that. And slowly they start winning people. They will come through schools, orphans. They have a long-term plan. And before long, you start seeing them in politics. I'm Jambian, you know? And before long, they start pushing for certain laws. While you are looking, for information, in my view, the greatest enemy to Christianity, I think, is Islam. More than anything else. I say this so that we can pray for this nation. Pray for our leaders, as we are told in 1 Timothy, in chapter 2, that there might be peace in the land. Death by beheading. This is just by cutting the head off. This was in Bible times. Who was beheaded in the Bible? John the Baptist. Then electrocution. What is electrocution? A certain amount of electricity you and me can endure. But above a certain level, even the strongest man can't or die. Electrocution, by the way, is mainly heart, cardiotoxic. Electrocution is mainly cardio. It stops your heart and you die. So having looked at the methods of electrocution, let's very quickly now look at the arguments against death penalty. The first argument is denial of basic rights, human rights. I think I agree with some, but some is just too much, you know that. So human rights. They say it's a human right to have life. The other argument is the possibility of error. And this one was actually told by one of my church members. He came to me and he says, Pastor, me, I don't agree with the death penalty. They say the possibility of error. People have been convicted. And then they discover they made a mistake. You remember? Maybe they do genetic studies. Like in rape. I'm sure you all know rape is a very serious offense. Like in rape. Maybe they do genetic studies. Genetic studies means they look at the genes. Okay, and they find that the blood which was on the lady is actually not your blood. So they are saying, no, there is a possibility of error. You will have ended up killing someone for nothing, or killing an innocent person. Yeah, this is their argument. Then three, they say it's unfair judgment. They say that capital punishment is usually inflicted on the poor, those who can't afford to pay for justice, to corrupt the system. Then lack of deterrence. They are saying that even if you kill, people still kill. You're not stopping anything. Let me go to the biblical teaching. The reason I mention those things is that for you to go and read so that you also know where they are also coming from. Now, for me, I want to say that it's extremely important as believers that our final authority on all matters of faith and conduct is the Bible. It's not about what you and me feel. It's about what God says. Remember that we will not always feel like doing God's work. Somebody walked up to me one day and said, Pastor, How many times have you considered resigning? This is my 13th year. I've now clocked 13 years as a pastor. 12 and a half years I was at my former church in Lusaka, Evangel Baptist, and I've now been 9 months at Ndola Baptist. So I've made 13 years as a pastor. So somebody came to me and said, "Pastor, how many times have you felt like resigning in your 13 years?" And you know what my answer was? Every day. Every day I felt like resigning. The demands of the pastorate are so heavy. They are so heavy. You know, people think being a doctor is busy. Being a pastor is not busy. Because as a doctor, for instance, if there's a calamity, I'll deal with it and forget about it when I go home. Pastoring is not like that. I deal with an issue, I carry it in my mind, I'm praying about it, I'm thinking about it, I wake up in the morning. Medicine is not like that. It's actually more busy being a pastor. I'm busier as a pastor than. So if we go back to Genesis 9 and verse 6, remember, when we are talking about a subject, we should always see it in the Old Testament as far as possible, and then see how it is applied in the New Testament. Genesis 9 verse 6, you find this: "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made a man." You know, we say man is made in the image of God. What do we mean? Some of the characteristics, not all, but some of the characteristics of God are in you. When God was creating you, he created you as it were like a mirror of himself. In a sense, the characteristics, like intellect. 12 years ago, compare the cell phones of this century and 12 years ago. But now you have iPhones like this. The Bible is here. Imagine all my notes are here. My sermons are here. If I want a Bible verse, I'll find it here. So he's saying, "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed." The Bible is for capital punishment. And we see it early mentioned in Genesis 9, verse 6. You see, the crime of murder is not principally based on the idea that you robbed a person of his life. Murder is not a crime of theft, but of destruction. We have destroyed the life of one made in the image of God. God says such a crime deserves the most extreme punishment. You take a life, you surrender your own life. That's simple. By the way, read through the Old Testament. I'm reading now. You find 21 different offenses that called for the death penalty. 3 included an actual or potential capital offense. 6 are for religious reasons. 10 are for various moral issues. And 2 relate to ceremonial issues. If I had time, I would have spoken to you about the judicial law, the ceremonial law, and the moral law. But I don't have time to go into all those. But you should know these little things, because the chaps will argue against. Some feel, even though capital punishment was approved in the Old Testament, the New Testament has changed all of that. I'll tell you why this is not a good way to argue. They say Jesus or something teaching in the New Testament has somehow changed that. My response is, where? Where in the Bible has it changed that you don't do capital punishment? Where did Jesus say no more capital punishment? Actually, capital punishment is strongly assumed. If there's a paragraph you should underline or highlight, it's this one. Actually, capital punishment is strongly assumed in the New Testament. In Romans 13, Paul argues that governing authorities are set there by God. He says, "If you do what is evil, be afraid, for the government does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is minister of God and avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil." God ordains or has given power to the governing authorities. And those governing authorities have a God-ordained responsibility to execute justice with the sword. Capital punishment, in other words, is not you saying, "I'll go and kill that one because he killed that one." No. God allows capital punishment as long as it's through the authorities, through the government. Capital punishment must be carried out by the people in power. President Sata and Co. They are the ones. And as you know here you can't kill anyone unless the president signs. Peter says in 1 Peter 13:14 that these authorities were sent by God for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do right. People say, well, capital punishment is just revenge. My response is, they are right in a sense, it is revenge. In fact, it is just revenge. Justice. It's God's vengeance based on justice executed through the machinery of government. If our government abolishes capital punishment, A, they'll be going against God's teaching. A man who takes the life of another surrenders his own life. Why should he go free? Paul uses the word sword here. I don't think he had in mind paddling people with the broadside of the sword. Capital punishment is in view here as a proper tool government would use to express the vengeance of God in a just fashion. That is the biblical teaching. I give you an example of Mother Teresa, which you can read. If this argument works further, in fact, Jesus never challenged the validity of the death penalty. He never said no death penalty. When he had the perfect opportunity to do so in John 8, what was supposed to be the death penalty in John 8? What was supposed to be the punishment? Stoning. Death penalty. Remember we said there are 7 ways? But he never challenged the death penalty itself. Did you notice that? He didn't enforce it under what seemed to be an unjust situation because all the witnesses fled. Jesus simply said, is there no one here to condemn you? Then neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Because the law required witnesses. In order to stone that lady, the people were supposed to be around and say, we saw her. Just like in court today. If there are no witnesses, I'm sure you people know better than me. You've seen criminals, you people. Free! Because there was no witness.
Who is worthy to sentence one to death?
The judge.
The judge. And how is this judge according to what we are reading?
Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the perfect judge there.
Yes, Jesus Christ was the perfect judge. Mm-hmm. Now in this case, today when a president is actually caught and he is to be punished in this manner, except to be sentenced to death. Now these people that are judging, are they right? Have they not done something like that also? If Jesus Christ was to ask them, that you people want to do this, first of all, anyone who has not done this, they will be the first one to do what?
Mm-hmm.
To pass this judgment.
Yeah.
Would anyone of them stand? Question.
It's like even as believers, could any of us go to heaven if we depend on our works? No, we are going because of Jesus. But to answer your question, it was the law. It's a requirement of the law. The judges we have in court have been given powers by the law, by parliament. It's the parliament who makes the laws. Who is parliament? They represent the people. It's them. It's them. We've given them the authority. I'm a pastor. Not because I woke up one bright summer morning with my suitcase. You know, I'm not a briefcase pastor. No way. What happened? They looked around. They gave me authority. Pray for 6 months. I also wanted to pray. And that's what we did. So they've given me authority to be pastor at Indola Baptist Church. That doesn't mean I'm perfect. It doesn't mean I'm perfect. There are times I have to repent as a pastor. Of course, not to the level of certain things, but I have to repent sometimes. I'm not perfect. If Jesus was asking me, are you perfect, brother? I'd say no. Are you fit to be a pastor? My answer would be no. But I'm fit because of Jesus. I'm fit because the church gave me the mandate. So a number of magistrates, we are corrupt. But they've been given the power. The law, it's to do with the law. That's why even Jesus here, that's to do with the law. The law demanded witnesses. Oh, no witnesses, they all left.
Those witnesses, they left because the judge was defending the one who was to be killed. That lady was being defended by the judge, by that time Jesus. Because he gave them the case. He accused them. Whoever amongst you has not done this, let him raise the biggest stone and kill. He was honest to kill. But then, they were killed. Then the judge defended that person. Then also says, since there is no one, the whole is gone. Not to accuse me, even if I don't accuse you.
Yeah.
But you go through what you do this. So we see that to me was not the side of excuse to me.
Well, the Bible does say that the Lord Jesus is our advocate, is our lawyer,
yes,
in 1 John. So for me, I actually see him carrying out that area of being our lawyer. He was actually being a lawyer for this particular woman, in my view. But this is also a picture of what Jesus does for us. You know, the devil, remember, accuses us, but he defends us. I've died for this child. Okay, yes, he's made a mistake, but the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin.
Yes.
Okay. But for me, it really brings about that judge aspect in terms of defense.
When we analyzed that chapter, there was only one person who was brought, and that is the woman. And that act is not committed by one person by herself or himself. Where was the other person? That in itself. Whoever brought that woman to the judge or the advocate, they were not there. I believe maybe when he stooped down, he began writing. Whatever he was writing convinced them and they were guilty. That's why they went. They ran away. They should have brought two people. Why bring one person? Whatever is not written in the Bible, it's not for us to start it. Proverbs 29:29, yes.
Yes.
But the scenario there, what made Jesus to tell them what he told them? He had what I'm trying to say in mind, because they only brought one person. And the procedures we have in court today, they are derived from the Bible. And maybe the issue of the capital punishment, this happened after the flood of Noah, and that's when the capital punishment maybe started. And we see that there were some procedures which were set, and for one to be executed, you need to produce witnesses to testify against that person. And again, we see the coming of the refugee cities, if we go on, where this person who has committed this offense would go and be at that time when they are investigating. When he is found guilty, he will be killed. When he is not guilty, he will not be killed. And today we have the remand prisons where this person will be kept. That is the scenario. And that's where we got all what we have today. Maybe.
If we look in the book of Acts, chapter 25, verse 11, he says, if then I'm a wrongdoer and I've committed anything worthy of death penalty, I do not refuse to die. He says, look, I don't refuse to be put to the death penalty. But if none of these things is true, of which these men accuse me, no one can hand me over to them. I appeal to Caesar. He was saying, look, if there is no evidence, then I'll appeal to Caesar. But if I've done something worthy of death, something worthy of the death penalty, go ahead. Paul did not take exception with the capital punishment, even for himself. His point was that he wasn't guilty, not that capital punishment was wrong. Paul didn't take exception with capital punishment. He didn't refuse. Even for himself. His point was that he wasn't guilty, not that capital punishment was wrong. Capital punishment is important. The Bible, Old and New Testament, is for it, not against it. There is nothing in the New Testament that gives us any reason to think otherwise. My response is that capital punishment works every time. Every time it's used, the prisoner dies. Well, you see, the reason for capital punishment is obviously not to rehabilitate somebody. That isn't why we use capital punishment. We use capital punishment to punish someone. To justly punish someone. Punishment may range from a parking ticket to death. What determines which punishment? An ancient principle called lex talionis. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. The point being that the punishment must fit the crime. So for instance, if you get the young man who stole Pastor Isaac's Magashini's iPhone, when Pastor Magashini saw that he was now being beaten to the point of now wanting to kill him, Pastor Magashini went to intervene. The reason is he knew, although he stole my iPhone, surely it's not equal to death. You see what I mean? Death is not the punishment for that iPhone. The punishment for that was probably returning the phone, and the custodial sentence of about 2 to 3 days in prison, perhaps a week, so that he doesn't do it again. But death is not the requirement for stealing an iPhone. So that's what my argument there is. Conclusion. Is the death penalty a form of true justice? Or is it a cake folly? I trust that by now, that's the last paragraph, it's abundantly clear that the death penalty is a form of true justice. Let the judiciary keep but one question before its mind. What does the crime deserve? And you'll have no problem seeing eye to eye with me on this matter. That's a quotation from Conrad Mbewe. He's got some unpublished works. So he wrote on death penalty. And that was his conclusion. And that's the conclusion I want to end with. So is death penalty biblical? My answer is yes, and I have no doubt.
This has been Pastor Singogo during Leadership Conference at Central Africa Baptist College. Remember, Central Africa Baptist College, training the next generation of servant leaders in Africa for Great Commission living.